Welcome to topic 6, where we start the brief workshop called Factors Underlying the Effectiveness of a Coaching System. We'll look at those features of coaching system structure that will determine how well athletes perform in a coaching system. Some of the content of this discussion replicates what has been done in the previous topics, but the replication is intentional. And the first feature is the provision of a totally planned system. Each session, each training phase, and the total year needs to be carefully planned according to principles of human performance that is currently known. This workshop assumes that the listener is familiar with evidence-based coaching, which only employs the principles that are known today in the modern sports sciences of physiology, biomechanics, and applied sports psychology. As was pointed out also in the last workshop, there needs to be at least an equal emphasis on physiology, biomechanics, and psychology in determining program content and practices. Within each of those domains, there are further subsets of principles and technical directions that are based in objective scientific evidence. For example, in physiology, one would need to consider endurance training, sprint training, or two forms of anaerobic training, the role, if any, of strength and flexibility work. In biomechanics, one needs to look at the correct development of all skills according to mechanical principles rather than copying the form of a champion. And in psychology, such topics as competition preparation, tactics, self-control and evaluation, the structure of social environments, the knowledge of the athletes all need to be considered, among many other topics. A failure to produce a totally planned system can lead to a number of erroneous characteristics. One is incomplete development. An athlete exposed to a program that concentrates purely on physiology will not have the best of skills and may have inappropriate psychological structures for coping for training and competition, and also being able to harness the resources within the athlete in competitive settings. An incomplete model also produces an inconsistency in performance. That inconsistency comes from not being exposed to the variables and the appropriate behavioral developments that do govern consistent performance, particularly in competitive settings. Also, a very limited program could produce boredom, and recent research has shown that perhaps boredom is the major precursor of staleness or overtraining fatigue. Generally, a failure to produce a totally planned system exposes the ignorance of the coach about factors which affect performance. There are many results of this failure, and those will be discussed in the third section of this total workshop. Such things as the development of fictions and misstatements of true knowledge to justify the current coaching practices. The maximization of productivity is the second factor underlying the effectiveness of a coaching system. The time spent in training should be devoted totally to sport participation. Studies have shown that the amount of time that is actually spent in beneficial physical activity in coaching sessions is lower than it should be. Also, there are a variety of actions that occur at training which also interfere with the maximization of productivity of the experience. Features of a productive training session are work-to-rest ratios being equal to or more stressful than the performance expectations, activities being specific for the sport, simulations or reenactments of competitive settings, injury prevention, and basic development and teaching, Usually, the activities will depend upon the training phase that is being employed. The atmosphere of training should be similar to that required for competition, so that athletes learn to focus their attention, to concentrate on the appropriate technical and tactical elements, and all the features that are important for successful competing. Some delays and rests are inevitable and need to be employed so that they serve some effective use, such as opportunities to provide information, recovery, or perform mental activities that either evaluate performances in training or prepare performances in training. A failure to maximize productivity results in more time spent at training than is necessary. This is a burden that is very readily recognized by athletes. Also, unproductive training decreases a coach's credibility in the eyes of the athletes. Downtimes increase the possibility of distractions and uncertainty, both of which will interfere with skill, tactical, and application development. The productivity of training will be determined by the athlete's perception of the relevance of the activities that are performed, the amount of time that is spent in doing those relevant activities, and the belief of the athlete that benefits are being gained in the activities for their intended performances in competitive settings. A third factor involved in effective coaching is the maximization of direction. Coaches should employ the most efficient form of information dissemination. Coaches need to advertise program content. That program content having been developed by the coach outside of practice time and in accord with a totally planned system. Program content, particularly that of training, should be written and available prior to its use. The provision of the content of intended training allows athletes to develop strategies on how they will control their behaviors throughout the impending training session. This contributes to the development of self-control. Athletes who know what will occur in a training session work to higher levels of efficiency and productivity than those who do not know what the sequential occurrence of events will be. A failure to provide direction and forewarning of all the activities in a sporting experience leads to a number of problems. One is a reduction in training productivity. Typically, athletes will reserve some energy sources and some application potential in case some higher demanding